Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 118, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118.
portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Song of Solomon and are of the second chapter. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break. And the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of the earth, the Creator of each and every one of us, and of all the creatures that dwell with us here below, we are yet upon thy footstool. There is a church that is at thy right hand already, that does sit around thy table, that eternal supper of the Lamb. There they may receive those blessed comforts. There they may be fed by thee, even as thou dost give unto them, day by day, those pleasures that are without bounds and without end. There thy name that is magnified and it is glorified. And then there is there no sin for those who have left behind a body of sin and death. Oh, thou wilt raise it perfectly on that last day, and that thou may take also their bodies unto thyself, and that thou mayest be glorified both in soul and in body. O Lord, we do yet remain behind with our children. O thou knowest what it is here upon the Meshech of this world. O Lord, then it is so necessary that we and our children are given to see the seriousness of our life. That short moment between the cradle and the grave. For we must be born again. Oh, that thou may look upon us in this hour, in this day. For according to thy command, then we also hope to do as thou hast commanded us, to commemorate thy holy supper until that thou dost come. And then as thou didst command, so let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. And so we begin in this day a week of preparation, a week of self-examination. And that is not a strange work for thy children. As we have sung it in this morning hour, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so is the continual prayer of thy people, for they are uncovered through the deceitfulness of their own hearts. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of them, for thou knowest the fears very often. When this supper that is to be held, for thou art so holy, thou art in thy majesty, and they are so unworthy of the least of all thy notice or attention. And then it is not with a desire to show themselves among men, but it is with a desire to be obedient to thy command, and it is with a desire that they also may meet thee in the way of thy commandments, that they may be obedient unto thy word. O Lord, we beseech thee then, that thou may give us that wisdom and that skill to take forth the precious from the vile. That the name of thy church may be heard, that they may be given ears to hear, and that they may be given also food from thee. For thou hast said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, O Lord, who is sufficient for these things. But thou didst but give it unto thy disciples, then it was not their work in the first place. When thou didst give it unto them to break unto them the bread, then they did need but to give it unto the people. O Lord, we beseech thee therefore that thou may show thyself to be the same, both yesterday, today, and forever, that in thy house also in this afternoon hour, that thy word may be broken in the midst of thy church, and that thou wouldst feed thy people, that thou may give them to know and to recognize the work of thy Holy Spirit within them, that they may receive that blessed freedom, and that they may be heartened in all their discouragements, that they may receive that blessed faith to look up unto thee, not only in this hour, but in the week to come and in the Sabbath to come. but that thou wouldst also discover the hypocrite unto himself. O Lord, then we may well tremble for that hypocrisy that lies within the heart of each and every one of us. And if thou thyself dost not prevent, then we will deceive ourselves for that great and that never-ending eternity. O Lord, we beseech thee then, when it is truly that we go over this world with a lie in our right hand, oh, then we beseech thee to uncover it unto us in this hour, in this day, that we may not perish so, but that we may receive that true repentance for not only the careless, not only the profligate, but also the hypocrite can be converted unto thee. O Lord, then today is yet the day of grace. It is yet a time of salvation, and even a Saul of Tarsus, thou didst stop upon his way, and thou didst turn him about to make him an instrument, even in thy holy fingers, to bring forth many out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light. O Lord, we beseech thee then, that thou may go before us in this hour, that thou may remember both young and old, that thou may give in the hearts of our children and our young people that blessed and holy jealousy. Oh, then they have no church right unto that holy sacrament at this time. And yet it can be that they have, even in the days of their youth from thee, that divine right that may be exercised in the future time. O Lord, could it please thee to give that many of our children and our youth and may be exercised in the things of thee. Oh, that thou may stop us upon our mad career, and even in the days of our youth, that blessed choice of Moses may be made, that we may be kept from much evil and sin. Put thou a fence and a wall about us. Wilt thou keep away that dog from the of the prince of darkness, that he would not devour our children, but that thou thyself may watch over and protect them, to deliver them from all of his evil and satanic devices, that thou may look upon all the needy, for they also are many in our midst than there are those that do mourn. Thou knowest their places. There are widows. There are widowers. O Lord, that thou may remember them, for we cannot enter into their sorrows, but thou art able, and thou knowest the places where that they dwell. Oh, could it please thee to give them a visit from above, that thou may be indeed a husband unto the widows, and a father unto the fatherless, and that thou may look upon those who carry burdens. There are those that bring them about over this world, but there are also those that are not able to leave their dwellings with them, so that they are unknown unto others, and they are carried in such a personal way, and then it can be that we have no idea. But Lord, thou art God, and thy servant, then he did say that when he went over this world, that if he would ascend up into heaven, then thou wast there. And when he would make his bed in hell, even lo, thou wast there. Thus thou knowest the place of each and every one. Oh, that thou may give a cry in the midst of afflictions, trials, and persecutions. Give the knowledge, the experience, the sense, and the feeling of the of that great and notable fact, that thou art alive, and that thou livest and reignest over all the land, that there may be a cry to thee in every need, in every care, and in every sorrow, and that thou may lead and guide into the midst, in the midst of this world, into all of thy truth. Wilt thou go before thy word? And when it is brought in truth over the length and breadth of this whole world, oh, that thou mayst strengthen each and every one of thy servants, the students, and all those that labor upon the mission field, also the helpers there, a member also of our own flock, be on her right and on her left, when she has left us, that she may feel thy presence and thy help in all her labors also, that thou mayest supply for all that bring thy word, and that thou mayest look upon us also in this afternoon. Lord, give to us that strength that is necessary, and that wisdom that cometh alone from above, that thou may be our teacher and our leader, and that thou may watch over the door of our lips, and that we may not be an offense unto any, but that we may be an instrument in thy hand to lead our flock and to bring them to thy footstool, or to feed those that live, and that we may be an instrument for the raising of the dead, for the bringing back of those that do wander, for the healing of those that are wounded, and for the great and glorious honor of thy worthy and thy holy name. Do forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Nursing Home, Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. congregation, our text for this special hour wherein we begin our work of self-examination can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, and thereof the 14th verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. So far the words of our text. And these words speak about the bridegroom's call for communion, which we see in three thoughts. First, whom he calls, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, that is, whom that he calls. Second, what he calls to. He says, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. What he calls to. Lastly, the reason that he calls. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Thus, the bridegroom's call for communion. First, whom he calls. Second, what he calls to. And third, the reason that he calls. O my dove. O my dove. That is the name that the Lord is giving to his church. Is that not a wonder? The Lord owns them. What are your thoughts about this? Do you desire also to belong unto his people? Because in paradise we left him. And by nature, then that choice of Adam is still living in our heart. How is it with us? When we would begin our examination in these moments, then how is it in our heart? Is it that actually the service of the Lord is yet a complete burden unto us? That we are lovers of this world, and that our religion is that of form and of custom? It is for us a duty. Because if the Lord will have begun that good work of grace, then within our hearts, then there will be something burning when we may hear only those three beautiful words. O my dove. Is there then ever in your heart a holy jealousy that you also may belong unto this people? Then it is not merely to belong to that people, but it is actually that we may belong unto him. Then it was not in the first place thy people, my people, for its own sake, but it was pointing to that which she said, thy God, my God, O my dove. Congregation, are you also one of his dove? There are those, they are even today among the young people. Then they are ready to say, well, I am one of his dove. What must we say to this? Well, we say that is not impossible, because we can read also years ago How that the Lord, He has made it known even sometimes to those who were so very young, but that is not so common. And we live not in days where man is living such a close life unto the Lord. And thus, those words of Isaac, they are perhaps so much more appropriate. How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Newton, he says, 'tis the point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? Is this not closer to the language of the Scriptures? When David, he says, O Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Then he needed to hear it from the mouth of the Lord, and he was not able to just make those assumptions that seem to be made in our days so easily. And is it not also for this very reason that the Lord has instituted His Holy Supper, that He may give His people that knowledge also for themselves? What does the Lord say? He says, O my dove. Thus He compares His people to a dove or to the related pigeon. That is a bird with a very special character. It is known for His gentleness. He is known for His meekness. He is known for His timorousness. It is known, it is actually in our days even a symbol of peace. That is a bird that is a defenseless creature. Does not fight. No, he hides from his enemies. And he has many enemies, the dove, because the hawk and the falcon and many other birds of prey, they are always looking out for this defenseless bird. Is it any wonder that the Lord compares His own church to a dove? Because the most bold, the most brazen of characters, they are not completely taken away in true conversion, no. But the Lord, He is subduing those characters, even to make such to be as harmless as the dove. And that is now also a church that has many enemies. Enemies that are seeking to destroy her, to consume her. And what is her experience? Well, that is the same with God's servant. When he said, we have no might against all this great company that cometh against us. Thus, what is their fear? Their fear is that they are going yet to perish. Even we read that like of David. He said, I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul. Even though that was a man who received the promise of the Lord. But when every day that enemy was behind him and not so far away from him, and the fears they were experienced day by day, and the deliverances of the Lord, they were sometimes, we would say, so very, very close. Oh, then David, he feared so often for his life. And so we have that people that are fearing so often for their ruin. And why? Because of sin. Because they are not able to conquer it, as we have heard in this morning hour. Thus, when they are not able to conquer it, then it is continually threatening to be their ruin. We heard it this morning. The Apostle Paul himself, he says, who shall deliver me? Thus he could not deliver himself. He was weak against that enemy of sin. Oh, my dove. And now where is that dove living? Where is that dove dwelling? We read, oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Thus, where is she? She is hiding. That is typical behavior for a dove, for because of her character, because of her defenselessness. But this behavior that is especially typical in the time of her molting, that is, when that was, they were times between her nesting and her migrations, where boys and girls, that bird, along with other birds, they would lose their feathers. They would lose their old feathers in order that they may gain new feathers. Now, a dove, that is not a bird that would attract much attention to itself in the best of times. It was not a particularly attractive and pretty bird. That is not a bird of which you would say that we see something of great majesty and beauty in it, as if we would be looking at a beautiful peacock or a beautiful eagle. No. No, that dove or that pigeon, that is just so very common, and that does not have so much beauty in it. But now in the time of her molting, when that bird that is losing its feathers, and half those feathers they are there, and half those feathers are gone, so that the very skin of that bird in places can be seen, then we must say that that bird that is looking downright ugly. A photographer, when he will try to get a picture of a bird, such a bird in his molting, has a very difficult time. And why? Because that bird in that time goes into hiding. He goes into secret places, just as if, children, that bird that is ashamed. Just as if that he is ashamed of how he looks and does not want to come out into the open. They say that the birds, they become so very quiet. They become, for a large part, inactive. They lose a good portion of their ability even to fly. They are very sensitive in those days. They are feeling in themselves so miserable. When they are pet birds, then they say you should not touch those birds, because they do not like to be touched in such a time. And it is in such a time that such a bird, he is especially vulnerable, because he has in such a time no ability to defend himself against his enemies. And add that to the character of this dove, and we see a bird that is in itself, for itself, sees the necessity of a hiding place. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. The true church here below, that does not look so very beautiful. Especially in the eyes of the world, this does not look so very beautiful. She does not look so very beautiful in her own eyes either. She does not look so very beautiful so often even in the eyes of those that are around her. That is the visible church, the professing church. Now, why not? Well, we read the Lord says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. And that is a church, that is a condition that does not look so pretty. Would you want to change places with Job? If when he has lost all his possessions and his family, and when he is sitting on the ash heap, would you want to change places with the children of Israel? When they are there in Egypt, under their taskmasters, oh, that is not a people that look so very pretty. That is not a condition that the world says, well, that is now a people I would like to trade places with them. When we see Naomi, and she is coming back from Moab, and then the Moabites, what do they say? They say, is this Naomi? They are shocked, as it were, to see her. She does not look as she has looked before. Oh, she says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, or I have gone out full, and the Lord, he has brought me home again empty. Wherefore then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord, he hath dealt very bitterly with me? Is that not now the condition of that people? When the Lord is leading them in ways of affliction in this life, that is a condition that is not so desirable for the flesh of man. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. It is not so easy when the Lord, he is plucking the feathers of a man, and when he has to look at himself, and when he can see no beauty in himself. Did you ever see the wretchedness? Did you ever see how that you have lost that blessed image in which God has made you, that you have to say, I can see nothing of it anymore? That image of God in me that has been completely defaced, then I cannot find in me anything of that purpose anymore wherein God has created me. But I am living with a heart that is in the world, a heart that loves the world, that heart that is living for the world. And what does a man become then? Then he becomes ashamed. Then he becomes greatly ashamed. Why? Because of his fall. We read that of Adam and Eve. Suddenly they knew that they were naked. And what did they do? Then they hid themselves. Oh, did you ever know suddenly from the Lord how awful that your condition is? Then it is a people. They are like that molting bird that is stripped of all of their ability to fly before they could go and come as they would. But now they are losing this ability. And when the Lord, he has converted them and given them new desires, do you believe that, children, that a man can receive a new desire, that a child can receive a new desire? Not desires after this world that live in all of our hearts, but that even a child, he would live for and desire other things. And then when he is running after these things, that he may please the Lord. And when the Lord begins to pluck out all his feathers, as it were, so that he is not able to come and go and do as he was able to before, and that he is not able to please the Lord as that new heart desires to please the Lord, and he has to experience that he is not able to fly like he could before. And he has to experience that he is so very weak and that he is very helpless. Then you understand that he becomes exposed Then he becomes exposed to what? Well, when a man cannot keep the law, and when the only thing a man knows is a broken covenant, then there is a curse that is attached to that covenant. And thus that man, he becomes exposed, and he becomes fearful that indeed that he shall be punished according to that curse. So a man goes over this world. Do you think he sings then? Oh, he is not a stranger of what singing is. He has known what singing was, especially before, when he went with joy, with that multitude to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise. And when he thought even by times that with joy that he did draw water with God's people out of the wells of salvation. And yet, there comes a time that he does not sing anymore like he did sing before. And why not? Well, it is not going as he thought that it would go in the beginning. And why not? Well, we heard it this morning. It is not only because of conviction of sin, but we heard there is also a discovery. A discovery, what is that? Well, when continually more and more the Lord is exposing to him what is living within his heart, then he thought that he was doing pretty good, that he may keep all the commandments of the law of the Lord. And as we have heard in that 10th commandment, how that not only in the actions, but also in the very thoughts, and not only in the thoughts, but the very inclinations of my heart. And so the Lord, he is saying, dig deeper, son of man, turn again, and thou shalt see more abominations. You understand that people, they are not able to sing anymore the way that they were able to sing. Why? Because the hopes and the expectations, they are being so disappointed. It is the lack of ability that they did not realize even in that young life. They are grieved. Do you know what they want? They want to be left alone. Invite them once to your parties. Maybe they will come, but they will sit there so quiet, and they will not laugh along. Or they would rather, just like those men to Emmaus, they did not want any company. Why? Because they were so discouraged. Everything that goes wrong, they cannot understand the ways of the Lord. Do they love the Lord? Oh, they love the Lord. But they cannot understand why that it goes in such a way. And then they say with Jacob, all these things, they are against me. But what does the Lord say? He addresses this people. He says, oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Thus, what does the Lord do? He calls them. Is that not a great wonder? Because then that people, they may hear something of the calling of the Lord. Wherever that they may be, in their hiding places, and in their secret places, then there comes a time that they may hear something of that calling of the Lord. Say they have heard the word of the Lord. They have heard that same word, maybe that same text from the Bible, over and over and over again. That is true. But they have never heard it in such a way. When the Lord, He is coming to speak unto them. When the Lord is bringing them in these circumstances. And when the Lord, He is describing these circumstances unto them. Showing unto them that He knows their name and He knows the place where that they are dwelling and that He is calling them by their name and that He is saying directly unto them, O my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. And when they may hear now that name, then they may know. Then they may feel that it is a word that is unto them in such a personal way. And what does the Lord say to them? The Lord says to them, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Thus, what is the Lord doing? The Lord, He is inviting them to Himself. He does that in such a personal way. Oh, my dove, let me see thy countenance. That is necessary that it becomes so personal in the life of a man. And why? Because of the timidity in the character of the people. They are not so bold as the hypocrite who has never lost his rights before the Lord, that they can just go in unto the Lord. No, that is a people who do not dare. And why don't they dare? Because there is a felt guilt. Because there is a felt corruption. Because of the sense of their unworthiness, that they do not dare. Why did Esther not dare to go in unto the king? Well, she says, because I have not been called. I have not been called to come in at these 30 days. Or is that also your case? Because there is a people that need to be called. They need to know, to hear that calling. They need that invitation from the Lord Himself. It is not good enough that it is coming to my neighbor, to my father, my mother, my brother, and my sister. No. But it needs also to be felt by me. That it must be more than notion. Something must be known. Something must be felt. Oh, my dove. With what a tenderness the Lord He is inviting His people. He does not just say, my dove. No, He says, oh, my dove. Then it is coming out of the inmost recesses of His heart that He is giving them to feel something of that tenderness that is in His heart toward His own children. Then it is not with hardness. Then it is not with harshness, no. But the Lord, He is coming to draw that people. Oh, my dove. That art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Oh, there is coming a time when the Lord is saying to that dove, while they are in the clefts of the rock, while they are in the secret places of the stairs, oh, when they are in such a solitary way, when it is, as it were, between God and my soul. Oh, then when they would have no man to be among them, when they would say, every man out from me. Oh, when they may go into their inner, into their secret chamber. And then the Lord, He is saying unto that people, let me now see thy countenance. Oh, it is a people that cannot uphold themselves anymore. It is a people that have been stripped by the Lord. Oh, they see, they feel their utter wretchedness, their utter misery. And now the Lord coming, when they are in such a condition to say, let me now see thy countenance. Do you know what the Lord, He says? He says, let me now see how you look. Show thyself unto me. Oh, come out a little and hide nothing from me. And He invites them to come to Him in their nakedness, in their misery, in their simplicity. Oh, that is a time when that people, they have to say, oh Lord, Lord, dost thou want to see me now? Dost thou want to know how that I look now? Then they have to say, here I am, Lord. Oh, I am so ashamed. I do not know how to appear before thee. For Lord, thou hast made me good and upright. And I am one of those that has sought out many inventions. O Lord, wilt thou see me now? Then I look nothing like that thou hast created me. O, I was created to keep thy commandments. And I have made an attempt of it, but I am not able. Oh, I have tried it, Lord, and I have failed. Oh, wilt thou see me now? And then thou wilt see one who is sitting in his wretchedness. And then thou wilt see one who is sitting under the curse. Oh, Lord, wilt thou see me now? Oh, I am ashamed of how I look, how I appear before thee. I cannot make myself any better. The Egyptians, they came to Joseph, and when they came to him, they said, oh, my Lord, we will not hide it from thee. We will not hide it. We cannot hide it anymore. Our cattle are gone. Our sheep, our oxen, they are all gone. We don't have anything left, and we are hungry, and we have no corn. Oh, everything, our state, our condition, that is all before thee, all our wretchedness, all our misery. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. What does the Lord say? He says, oh, my dove, tell me. Tell me how it is then. Tell me. Tell me all that troubles you. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you lack. Tell me now what you need. Can you not make up that breach? It is now a grief to your soul that you are apart from me, that you have left me, that you are in the service of this world. Is that now your sorrow? And He gives them opening. He invites them to say unto Him what is now that hard truth, just as it is, and that they may hide nothing from Him. Let us sing 143:1-4. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. O wash me wholly from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess, I ever see my sin. 143:1-4. my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. What is it? That is what we find in our third thought, the reason that he calls, that is, the Lord, he adds a motive to it. For he says, sweet is thy voice. That means pleasant is thy voice. It is melodious. There is a mixture of notes in thy voice. And in that mixture of notes, there is a blessed harmony. It is to me a very sweet sound. Sweet is thy voice to that people, to the world, to the formal church. It is just the opposite. Hezekiah, he says, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. Or it is to themselves such a miserable sound. It is a crying, it is a sighing, it is a groaning, it is a whining, everything forward, backward, everything upside down. But what does the Lord say? He says, sweet is thy voice. He says, I hear a blessed harmony in it. Why? Ah, he says, all thy desire that is known to me, and all thy groanings, they are before me. For sweet is thy voice. And thy countenance, how you look, that is comely. They say, what? How can that be? Is there any beauty in such a defiled creature that is standing there in his shame? Is there comeliness in guilt? Is there comeliness in corruption? Is it not all loathsomeness? Is it not all vileness, abomination unto that holy and that righteous God? For thy countenance is comely. Why? Ah, for the sadness of thy countenance in long continued grief I stand to seek the Lord. With outstretched hand, I find no comfort for my soul. The clouds of darkness o'er me roll. Oh, sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance that is comely. Why? For the wetness of it. For the tears. For the tears of sorrow. That are rolling down the cheeks of that countenance, for the eyes that are running down with water. Oh, he has put the tears into his bottle. They are written in his book. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, what is it? It is a motive. He is adding it to his direction. His direction was what? Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. He say, why would that be? That you want to see my countenance. That you want to hear my voice. He says, because that countenance that is to me comely. And that voice that is to me sweet. He gives them a reason. He would draw them to it. He says, I am he that takes very great pleasure in this because It is so beautiful to my eyes. Oh, do you ever go somewhere maybe? You say we go to the mountains because there we can see what is so beautiful that is precious to look upon. Beautiful sights. And maybe you put some headphones on sometimes, children, young people. You say, I'm going to listen. I want to hear some very beautiful music. We hope that you are not listening to the music of the world now. But here is now something that the Lord says that is to me so beautiful in my eyes. And that is sounding so sweet to my ears. He says that there is a blessed harmony in the sounds. The notes, they are agreeing together, the one with the other. When the one goes up, the other goes up along with it. And the one goes down, the other goes down. And then there is not the least discord. Oh, where is the harmony that the Lord is hearing in these notes? Oh, it is a blessed harmony with the purpose of the Father, with the decree of the Father. It is a blessed harmony with the work, the offices of the Son of God, with the person even of the Son of God. And therefore the Lord says, for sweet is thy voice. Oh, the intonations, they are in a very perfect accord, one with the other, perfectly matching one another, so that they are composing a very beautiful sound. Oh, it is the suitability of that mighty Savior for the most wretched and a helpless sinner. And therefore he says, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. O my dove, is there any music in the whole world unto me as the cry of a poor, of a needy sinner? Oh, what could be sweeter to my ears? What could be more harmonious than when I hear the cry of a leper, as that great physician? Oh, how glad then that the physician is to hear that cry. Why? Oh, because then he has, as it were, a client. Then he has, as it were, one to purchase his services. He is going to receive a reward thereby. Not the money of this world, no. But because of those offices, he is going to receive honor and glory in this forever and forever. Oh, is there any sound that is so sweet to him that has come to mediate between God and man as to hear that cry come up out of the heart of one who is not able to reconcile himself with God anymore? Oh, is there such a sound that is more melodious, that is more harmonious to the work of the and the person and the offices of the blessed Son of God? Is there a sound more sweet to that blessed surety? And then the cry of the prisoner, whom he has authority to release, will he not receive great honor and glory in his offices for everything that he has done? Oh, is he not looking forward that he may be able to officiate on the behalf of that people? For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Is there anything sweeter to his ears? Is there anything more beautiful to his eyes than to see a people coming in all their guilt, with an open confession, hiding nothing anymore from the Lord, and just coming to lay all their case before the Lord. Oh, as that great high priest who is able to take away the sin and to cast it into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness, is there any sound so sweet unto him who is the prophet of his church, who is able, who is wisdom itself, than to hear the cry of the ignorant that say, "Oh Lord, I do not know it anymore. I do not know how to be saved. I do not know how to please thee. I cannot make it right anymore between God and my soul." Oh, sweet is thy voice and thy countenance that is comely. Oh, congregation, is there now a people that are not able to deny that you have tasted something in your life of this blessed suitability? A miserable and a wretched sinner, he is receiving freedom to approach unto that blessed Savior through what? Through the revelation of the mercy and the grace of God unto such. And this alone is able to take away all the obstacles in order that that faith may draw near and that it may only touch the hem of his garment. Oh, from the side of that people, it is all guilt. From the side of that people, it is all wretchedness. It is all filthiness. And the Lord, he is so high. He is so righteous and he is so just. Oh, it would drive that people away from him as that children of Israel, as they are standing there by Mount Sinai, the thunderings, the earthquakes, the lightnings, the majesty, they cannot stand before him. But what did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, "Ye believe in God. Believe also in me." And when the Lord is now revealing the smallest part of his own Son, in his works, in his offices, in his persons, whatever that may be, the smallest part, oh, then they see something that is so blessed. Then they see righteousness for guilt. Then they see cleansing for filth. Then they see mercy for misery. Then they see grace for the unworthy. And they are given to experience something of the fact that that cry, that wretched, that miserable cry of the leper can be sweet, can be sweet in the ears of that heavenly physician. Oh, for the opportunity that he may pour out something of the balm of that shed blood into those wounds that threaten to overthrow and to destroy them forever and forever. Oh, to see something, the smallest part, how that this could be sweet unto him, could be comely unto him. Oh, my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, so Paul dared to draw near. You say, how did he dare to draw near? A man who had persecuted the very church of God. He killed God's children. He slew them. He chased them. He persecuted them. How does such a man draw near who must say that I am the chief of the sinners? Oh, how can he do it? How does he dare? Well, it is only when something is revealed unto him of this blessed suitability, so that he who has to say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, can also say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did David say? He says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace, they have kissed each other. Oh, then he has seen something of the blessed suitability. What does Solomon say? He says, I am black, but comely. You say that is a people of great faith. I read of a woman, a heathen woman. And she dared. She dared to do what? Oh, she dared to partake. Even as a dog that she felt herself to be. To take of the crumbs that fell from that master's table. How is it possible? Oh, that is only by a little opening of the sweetness and the comeliness unto Christ, of the voice and of the countenance of that wretched people. Because only by this is faith given freedom to draw near and to cast that anchor within the veil. And it is only by this that a wretched prodigal, even in the place where he is, in the circumstances where he is, with the history of his life, with his sinful existence, is able to say, I will arise and go unto my Father and say, My Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called my son, thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, and then we see his father running, running, running. Oh, my dove, throwing his arms around his son. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, congregation, we have to go. We have tried to lay it before you just a little bit. What do we know of this? Of that blessed suitability? Oh, have you ever tasted something in your wretchedness, in your misery, in your sinful existence? Have you ever tasted just a little bit of that blessed harmony between such a wretched and miserable condition and the person, the work, the offices of that blessed mediator? If not, then we have to warn you to stay away from that table of the Lord. Oh, blessed is that people who know that joyful sound. Ask the Lord if the Lord may give you also to know what that sound is. But when we are not a stranger of these matters, if we cannot deny it before the face of the Lord, then the Lord, he is also calling, oh, my dove. He is calling to what? Oh, that you come out of the hiding places, whither that you have run. Oh, would you then, when the Lord, he says, sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely, and I have a desire now to hear that voice, and I have a desire to see that countenance, will you now then withhold it from him, after that he has shown you something in your life, after that he has made you to rejoice in him for the smallest part, and when he has given you to taste something of the blessed suitability of his precious sacrifice for your own soul? Or will you then withhold from him that joy and that pleasure that he is seeking from his church when he is calling them and when he is saying with desire, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you. And there is calling, oh my dove. You say, it is too hot. I know. And yet it is the truth. It is the word of the Lord. Oh my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of birth, oh, could it be said in the week to come, as it was said by the Philistines of old, the Hebrews, they are coming out of the holes in the rocks, whither they have hid themselves, that thou wouldst draw thy dove, and that thou thyself may keep thy table. Give us self-examination, O work where thou hast never worked before, that thou alone art able to give such a need, a desire to be felt in a dead heart. Make us then alive. Draw thy people. Forgive our sins. Feed our souls. Bring us safely home. Help us in the labors of our hands. Help us also to put aside a little all the matters of this world, wherein it may be possible in this week, or that we may be given seriously to examine our own hearts. For our lives, they do fly away, and we are as pilgrims, and our life that is so short, as thou sayest, a vapor, a shadow, and soon it is gone. O Lord, give us then to examine our own hearts, and examine thou us, be with us, when we hope to meet also, and a male members meeting in the week to come. Thou knowest all our needs. Be among us. Forgive our sins. Receive our thanks. For thy help also in this hour, in bringing thy word, crown it with thy blessing. For Jesus' sake, amen. 421, stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, and thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. Though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears with winged hope and power impelling. And what follows 3 and 4 of Psalter 421. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.